right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We head towards game day, a couple game days in particular, Saturday for the IU Hoosiers football team and Sunday for the Colts football team, and we're also finding out bits and pieces of the beginning of Indiana basketball practice. We have a date for Hoosier Hysteria. We'll give you that here in a little while, but it's official now, so it's on the books, and you can come out and see the Hoosiers, and they have started practice, and so there's some news and notes to talk about there.
Well, let me give a quick one update for our high school fans. If you're heading to Bloomington North and wondering where the regional tennis is, they've moved it to South for tonight. I guess the North side got some rain. They're going to try to find some dry courts down here, and I believe South has lights as well, yes, which will help. So if you're up there and listening to us,
where is everybody?
Well, the caravan, go down South Walnut, and you'll eventually find it. So that's happened here in the last half hour. We want to make sure everybody knew about all of that. But yes, a busy weekend, obviously, with the Colts, a big weekend for them as well, as they will be honoring Peyton Manning with the statue and doing all that stuff. And our broadcast on Sunday will also carry that halftime presentation, so the honoring and program. So if you're a big Peyton Manning fan or big Colts fan or both, you'll get to hear all that right here on WGCL. It's pretty cool stuff.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. We're starting with IU football, though. They host what should be a easy game this weekend, although it has that that one danger factor we saw a week and a half ago, and that is the opponent and what the opponent runs. It's another Southern team, technically, because their name is Charleston Southern. They are a FCS team, the former 1AA. They had an open date. We had an open date.
Let's dance.
It works. So that's what we're going to do. Now, the 2 weeks ago, IU held out a few key players. We'll see if they end up doing any more of that against Charleston Southern. You would not expect that Charleston Southern gives you much of a game, very similar to the Georgia Southern game. They also run a triple option, so you're going to get some of the same kind of stuff. And we saw it took a little bit of a toll on some other defenders that did play that day, as Marcelino Ball and A'shaun Riggins and Nate Hoff all limped off at some point with an injury. So we will see from this weekend. Shouldn't be a difficult game by any stretch. It's a home game for the Hoosiers to win, which is what they were hoping for out of Florida International a long time ago. That didn't happen. They brought in Charleston Southern, and away we go. The big story, of course, is at quarterback position, though, for the Hoosiers, as Peyton Ramsey will get his first start of the season. And as we talked about on Monday, Peyton Ramsey has looked good when he has played. He's had some moments that look like a freshman who's not played very much before also, and I'm sure you're going to see a few of those. You shouldn't see a few of those this weekend against Charleston Southern, so that'll be the interesting thing there, is whether Peyton gets pretty much the whole game or not, or whether they throw Richard Lego into certain situations or not. But the other side of that is Richard Lego, and it is Glass. I mean, we talked about it. He had opportunities to hold on to this job and make sure that it didn't go anywhere. And it's not that they weren't going to go to Peyton Ramsey at some point. They said they were going to use Peyton Ramsey. They used him in the Ohio State game as part of a schedule they expected. But Richard Lego, outside of going for 400 yards against Ohio State, even late in that game, he started to get a little skittish with the rush and things like that. He never entirely grasped the job and showed you couldn't take him out of the game. So from that standpoint, there was an opening, and Peyton Ramsey, when he played, managed to do just enough to kind of jump into it and take it.
Yeah, the interesting part was they were rotating or giving each a chance, and now they've determined that's not going to be the case. This is Peyton Ramsey's car to drive, and there's not unless something physically wrong happens or something – I don't know what's going to happen, but the point was, in Monday's press conference, Coach Allen said this will not be a rotation basis. This is Peyton Ramsey's offense. So if you're the Hoosiers, you get all of last week. Not really. You get, what, three quarters again, kind of similar to the Virginia game in that sense. And then you get an opponent here on the weekend that, they're beating up their teams in their league, but the first game out of the season, they lost 49-0 to Mississippi State. It gives you just a little bit of an idea of what's going on with all of that. So Indiana's offense on Saturday, I would think, would be vanilla, in the sense that if they can't stop handoffs up the middle and they can't stop the stuff they've been running, I don't see any reason for them to expand the playbook and get after it. But it was interesting. We spoke to Simi Cobbs on Monday as well and said, hey, is this going to be any different? He said, not really. He said, the guys were taking 50-50 snaps in practice, so we know what Peyton Ramsey can do. It's not like he just came off the street. We've got to learn this guy or learn what he does. They understand the wide receiver cores that he runs. He understands they extend the plays, and that's something that's a little bit different, because with Rich, you had a different set of skills that you're going to see differently from Ramsey. But if it gives Indiana the best chance to win football games, that's what Coach Tom Allen said. If it gives Indiana the best chance to get cohesion in their offense, those are things that you trust the coaches that see these guys practice every single day and work with them in film every single day and see them lead and work and get in the weight room and whatever it can be. So it's exciting for the sense that as a fan, you now know what's coming and you don't have to worry about, oh, is it going to be two series? Is it going to be a quarter? Is it going to be whatever else? And Peyton Ramsey is confident. Obviously, he played at a high school at Cincinnati Elder that plays some pretty good competition. He's already played on the road essentially three quarters at Penn State and three quarters against Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he's shown flashes of skills. And for a redshirt freshman, Dave, that did nothing except play with the scout team last year, I thought he had an interesting comment. He said, I earned the respect of my defensive counterparts first because they had to play against me in
That's
practice.
Right. Yeah.
So it's this isn't some huge change. It was a split shift, and now it's just a regular shift. So what Indiana needs to do moving forward is they need to find that cohesion. They need to find that rhythm offensively, and they need to move the ball. And that's what Tom Allen said. We need to find a way to move the ball, and we need to find a way to get in the end zone. And there's no doubting either of those.
No, I mean, the scout team work you're talking about, I mean, that's how you heard about, the Kamian Patrick at one
right.
point in time. I mean, a number of kids back when you couldn't even play freshman years and years and years ago. I mean, that's how they had to make their name, and they made their name because you saw the kid and you go, who the heck is that guy? And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, throw him out there. The interesting thing to me, I mean, this is all kind of intangible-y stuff, but people love intangible-y stuff, still to me becomes, how does this play in the locker room? We're not going to know that until we see him against a good team like a Michigan or something like that. We're not going to know after this weekend unless he absolutely stinks up the joint. But it's more of a next couple games kind of thing, because this is a Hoosier team. They're going to struggle to beat Michigan, all right? That's not surprising by any stretch, but the next two games are games that they could win on the road. Not a have to win or will win, but could win. I mean, at Michigan State, at Maryland, these are teams that they're good enough to go up there and compete with. So there you're going to see, I think, with this team, how they really react to Peyton Ramsey and, whether there's anything going on mentally with the team by having this quarterback shift. And again, I'm not saying that Peyton Ramsey's throwing anything into it. He's just out there playing the game, which is what he's supposed to do. But it's an interesting change because you're taking a captain, a fifth-year senior, out of the game. And talked about all in the preseason about this kid leading up into, like I said, players made him captain. Now you're putting in the redshirt freshman, the kid who's still a little unproven. And if he's going to play all 60 minutes in a game where he's struggling, that's where you get into the weirdness of the entire thing. Will that be an issue with this team? Do you have strong enough leaders that say, hey, no, this is the kid. We're giving him his chance. There's a lot that goes along with that, and that'll be the interesting thing to follow here.
No, I don't think that's off base at all. The other interesting point is the quarterback gets too much credit when things go right, and the quarterback gets too much
always
discredit when
yep,
things don't always go correctly. And my point is to that, if Indiana's given up four turnovers a game, and he doesn't make any of the turnovers,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Well,
in
but
that
that's
sense.
The interesting thing.
The special teams doesn't perform.
If the offensive line got a better push and ran the ball better
sure
for the first four games,
hurt,
would they need
up
a running quarterback is one of the questions.
You saw in today's Herald Times, if you take the paper or subscribe to it online, that offensive line coach Darren Hiller didn't realize he didn't have any seniors when he got
yeah
here. And he didn't realize that some of the guys, they're learning kind of as they go. And he pointed out, hey, sometimes when we get later in games, guys drop off. Their drop-off is larger than we need right now.
Yeah.
We need to have depth. It is. It's completely interesting mm-hmm because when usually in the Big Ten, games aren't sewn up in the early third quarter.
That's exactly right.
So you have to have ways to move the ball. You have to have ways to get first downs. And you have to have ways to put points on the board. And we've seen Indiana over even last year leading against Penn State here.
Mm-hmm.
They had second half leads and some other games where they ran out of gas down the stretch, and I don't know if that I don't know enough about football to sit here and tell you it was because of the quarterback.
Of course.
But the simple math is when it breaks down and you get out of – when you get off schedule, and what coaches and broadcasters mean by that is third and long, second and long. Well, that can come from penalties. That can come
yep
from drops. That can come from bad calls, bad decisions, bad fun. You name
mm-hmm
it. There's a million different things in there. The point is Indiana against really good teams doesn't have a huge margin of error.
Right.
And I think we saw a little bit against of Penn State in front of 107,000 people. You can't keep giving them the ball in bad situations, 36-yard field, 32-yard field, whatever those were.
Right.
That's a team part of it. So you hope the offense rallies around it. I think the offense is going to be crisper because they're not splitting reps. I think you're going to have all the reps, the same call. We talked about that a little bit last year. We had new guys on the offensive line,
mm-hmm,
and trying to get those guys on the same page, it was kind of a revolving door with Feeney and Camille, and you're sliding this
they're
guy
they're still
over
doing
there.
It, though. That's the thing.
It
they're
is
They're still
the thing.
Pulling some guys in and out. It's but not usually least, a spot you do that.
But at least now they have some stability. It's the same cadence. It's the same call. It's the same rhythm in the huddle. That has to help a line that's not perhaps where Darren Hiller wants it and Coach Allen wants it.
Look, I mean, I can point out some other things that go the exact opposite direction. Your points aren't invalid at all. You're exactly right. Hearing the exact same thing, we saw it in the Colts game, I think, when you saw the new
center
come in.
Two out of three.
He's not exactly used to what he's
snap
hearing,
it.
And then all of a sudden
he guy's hitting him, snap the ball.
It's exactly right. I mean, so it can be a different cadence, and you can hear it differently, no question about that part. And if there were really, truly, significantly different play calls and play types between the two quarterbacks, and you imagine there probably were from the beginning of the season, then that would be a switch. So having one version to go with, I think, would mean something.
Let me help you with that point, because you're nailing it.
The issue I have, though, is this is a redshirt freshman seeing his first real game action. Yeah. He went in against Ohio State in the first game action and did Zippo and got pulled right back out. And again, that's not a criticism of the kid. I wouldn't have expected him to do a lot against Ohio State. That's a pretty good defense.
But he got his feet
You're
wet.
Gonna see other good defenses in the Big Ten. You saw one this past weekend, and it shut us down in the second half. We didn't do anything.
Remember how excited the coaches were after the Ohio State game with those run-pass options. There were 17 of them.
And they said it when they got the job. When Mike DeBoard came in, Tom Allen said, well, this is the kind of quarterback we want long-term. And I'm all for it. I prefer that to the stationary Richard Lego type. The issue now is simply the experienced guy, fifth-year guy, is that big type. And the kid who's got he's got a little bit now, but the kid who's got far less experience is the kid that gives you the option that I like better.
And you saw at Virginia with the two quarterbacks that the Cavaliers struggled when Ramsey came in the game. He completed his first 11 passes.
They had nothing on him. They had no idea what was coming.
Exactly right. And that's the point moving forward. Michigan doesn't have to prepare for two quarterbacks. They don't have to spend time breaking down both the plays. I guess you break down all the plays anyhow. It doesn't matter. But two different tendencies, two different patterns, two different this or that. I think that'll free up Indiana's offense as well, because there's no way, in my opinion, they would give him the job if throwing deep balls, if throwing routes that were a problem. It's not going to be an issue. Is his arm as strong as Legos? I would venture to say it's not. And I don't think that's saying anything that anybody doesn't know. No. From a physical standpoint, 6'5", 225 or whatever.
He's not inaccurate.
It's a different way of getting the ball down there. But what they have seen is Richard Lego, in 17 career starts, has 23 turnovers total.
That sounds about right.
Well, if you're going to pull running backs out for fumbling,
exactly right.
if you're going to pull guys off the punt team for making poor decisions, at some point, when do you tell your team that throwing two picks and having a fumble is acceptable every game or every other game? And I get the totality of it all, because, number one, Tom Allen's in his first year doing this. Mm-hmm. So he gets all the space from me because this is his first rodeo.
He's got to coach the next 3 or 4 years. So, that's part of it, too. Do you want the head start on all that with the young quarterback?
I don't think that's wrong.
It would make sense.
And he also wants to win now.
Right.
And instead of being stubborn and saying, well, I said all the camp and I said all the summer and I said all the spring that he's going to be our guy, he's reevaluated. He's taken the emotion out of it. Mm-hmm. He's taken out knowing he's a captain. He made him a captain. Of course he knows that.
Yeah.
He's taken that out of it because he believes, in my opinion, what he has seen in the locker room, what he has seen with his team. So, again, that's surprising in the sense that maybe it took 4 games, but it's good to see the new coach that's not bunkered in waiting for some kind of tectonic plate shift to make a change. He's being proactive in it. That, to me, tells me that him and DeBoard, there's no doubt that they have found their quarterback, because you could alternate them and keep alternating them. They have eliminated that completely.
Well, there's some interesting points there, though, too. You mentioned the idea of turnovers. There's been far too many when Richard Lego is quarterback. You started the second half out with an interception on your own 30-yard line that luckily got missed for a field goal, or it would have been over at that moment. So there's the next question. If the kid gets some looks, and by the way, the next game is Michigan. If you ever wanted a team early in your season to not be on your schedule when you don't have them a lot of experience, it would be the defense that Michigan is throwing at you right now. They are throwing everything under the sun at quarterbacks right now. So the kid's head is going to be spinning in that game when he throws his second interception in the second quarter. Is the same kind of thing held? Is Richard Lego thrown out there for a series or two so the kid can collect him? Those are interesting
questions
down the road here to ask about this. Is it that same standard in that regards?
Because
I still wonder with a defensive guy, if he looks at this and says, you know what, I rotate out my linebackers, you know. Yeah. I have to do that. And I know I put this kid as the number two and the kid ahead of him as a head, but I'm going to use Fields at the Husky position instead because I like him better.
I think you're right.
It doesn't work quite the same at quarterback for the team.
But if you need a spark, Michigan has this thing. They can be killing you and be up 6-3.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not scoring a ton of points. Their quarterback's out for the season. O'Korn's going to be the quarterback. Yep. They haven't. I mean, we know Chris Evans from Ben Davis. We know they've
can run the ball. Yeah.
They can run the ball, mm-hmm. but they're not. They didn't beat Purdue by 100.
No.
They didn't run the score up. They're kicking 5 field goals a game.
Yeah.
So it's something where if you need a spark, what will cause the rotation if there is one? Right now there isn't one. But does there come a point in the third quarter where you fought your doors off on defense,
and you got 3
you're
points.
Down 10-6 or 10-3, and you just say, "Boy, if we could get their defense off balance."
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be completely out of the question mm-hmm. because coaches don't have to tell the truth. They don't have to come out and say, "This is the game plan. You have to hold it to me," because he's already shown you he didn't do that with Lego and being a captain and all that other
For
stuff.
For the team, they have to be upfront about things.
Absolutely right. But if it gives you the best chance to win, you have to put that in your back pocket and squash it, I believe, because you want to beat Michigan. And if you're in a game to beat Michigan, you've got to take – if you feel that's a chance, you have to take it.
Quarterback is a position on the team that just has a mental aspect to the entire team.
I don't disagree with that.
And that's what makes it weird. Look, to reiterate and kind of sum back up here so we can move on to the next segment, Peyton Ramsey earned a chance – in the time that he got out there.
He did.
Now, second half of Penn State against a good team, didn't do anything. But outside of the one interception, also didn't throw away the game. It's not like he completely blew his chance. Richard Lego, outside of the Ohio State game, which, by the way, we lost by 29 points.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like we were right in that game. We had some interesting offense.
14-13 and a half.
Well, but we were interesting offense. All right, kept him off balance. Got that part. But at the end of the day, we lost by 4 touchdowns.
That's right.
Richard Lego in other chances, including last year, shown that he has the ability and the tendency to throw the ball away. So he's had some chances and maybe didn't grab onto it either. So this is not 100% cut and dry. That's what makes it interesting to watch from this point forward. How does this team react to it? It's a love each other is their mantra constantly. So are they going to love each other through this change? Because sometimes you get this change happening, you get some weird factions that start happening.
Well, and everybody's put on a brave face here in the first week. Simi Cobbs is Richard Lego's roommate, and he said, no, I didn't have to say anything to him. He's a leader. He's still a leader in the locker room. Of course, the play on the field will dictate how this moves, because if you've got a chance to nip Michigan, you're going to pull out, I would think, every stop in the book, because that's a win in this program that you haven't had since 1987. So that's a long time. So things will get perhaps muddied, and I hope they're in that situation where he has to make that decision if it comes to that. I hope they're up 28-3 in the third quarter. That's what I
there you go.
You really want my honest opinion. That's what I really hope is happening there. So it's interesting. It's strategic. It's also a chemistry experiment, as you mentioned, in the locker room as well. So we'll watch it play out. 3:30 Saturday, Memorial Stadium.
I merely caution you playing such a young player so quickly when you got a fifth-year guy. I like his options better. I do. I like the running quarterback. I like the run-pass option better. I think it does more things to defenses.
They've done did it.
Yeah. That's the kind of quarterback I've wanted the last couple years. But, when Trey got hit, he never got the job back, and Sudfeld did. They're on their fourth, all that stuff. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Some programming notes for you. We pick the NFL back up tomorrow night. New England is at Tampa Bay. That ought to be a really good game.
Tampa Bay is
playing really well.
And the best part about listening to it on WGCL radio, you don't have to see the color rush uniforms. Thank us later, Tampa Bay and New England tomorrow. Remember, if the Patriots lose tomorrow, Dave, their record will be 2-3 And if the Colts win on Sunday, their record will be
2-3
That's a funny league, isn't it?
It is. Tampa Bay is 2-1 And again, they're playing well. 8 o'clock is pregame for that. Friday night, we go up to the Dome. Glass and I will go up and see Columbus North play South at Lucas Oil Stadium. 7:30 is our Chalk Talk. 8 o'clock is kickoff. There is a game beforehand, so there is a chance that could run long and we could run a little late. So tune in around 7:30 and hang on if we're not there just yet, and eventually you'll get to us.
Yeah, we will not have the first game broadcasting, obviously, correct, so you can hear when it's done, but we'll
keep you informed.
Poke in immediately, if not sooner, and all of that.
That's Who knows? Catholic matchups up
Yes, it is. So I'm going to bring it up right now because I put it on our Facebook page
today. I think they usually
run
the ball, so maybe they just run the heck out
there
of it.
There you go.
Be done with it.
But sometimes those Catholic schools score lots and lots and lots of points. So we'll see. We'll see what Lucas Oil Stadium has. We'll go on a little fact-finding mission too, see if we can peek behind the curtain, see what's at that statue that's going up.
There you go.
Over the weekend,
I'm sure
as well.
Easy.
Cicina and Cardinal and Ritter right? is yep. the game before our game on Friday night. So Dave will handle Chalk Talk around 7:30, and we hope to have the kick about 8 p.m., a little late night on a Friday night.
That's right.
Up in Indianapolis, but fun times for all of that.
Saturday, we've got college football. LSU is at Florida. 3 o'clock is the broadcast here for your pregame, 3:30 kick. And on Sunday, we've got a pair of football games. Our nightcap is Sunday night football, 7:30 for pregame. Kansas City is at Houston. And the early game starts at noon with pregame of Bob Lamy. It's the Colts hosting the 49ers. And if there's anybody that the Colts should be able to beat and certainly better be able to beat at this point in time, it is the 0-4 49ers. There are only four teams that are winless, and we've beaten one of them. We've like to beat another one, I guess, since they're on the schedule.
That's exactly
and
right.
That's the Niners, who stink right now.
They do, and also during that Colts broadcast, we will have the Peyton Manning ceremony for you at halftime. That's a pretty cool. So don't you get a sandwich before the second quarter ends, so you can hear all that. But the 49ers have been interesting because they have problems as well. They are under a rebuild that has gone under more stuff than the Colts have. Remember, this team was in the Super Bowl, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 or 4, yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm. That defense was
really
fantastic.
Good. Half of them are arrested, half of them quit, half of them retired. It's been a Greek tragedy or whatever, your Shakespearean tragedy there. Got in a little fight, didn't let Harbaugh do what he wanted. He took his toys and went home, went to Michigan, and they have struggled to find replacement coaches since. They've struggled to find a replacement quarterback for Colin Kaepernick. They've struggled in just about every phase of the game. Their new stadium stinks. It's too sunny. People getting sunburned all day. Nobody wants to sit out there. They don't have anything going for them.
Oh, man.
And we know at least those of you who follow some of these numbers know that West Coast teams going east do not enjoy 1 o'clock starts morning starts at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. their time. Mm-hmm. And it's just a thing. Besides the Raiders recently, the Seahawks struggle. Yeah. And that's a good football team.
The records, yeah. I mean,
records are awful. Yeah. And that's, again, a positive thing for the Colts because they need all the help they can get. Their only win this year was against the Cleveland team, who I believe, how bad were they beaten last week? 31-3 by Cincinnati. So it's a bad Cleveland team. It's a bad 49ers team. So this one's going to be tough in the sense if the Colts don't finish the job and finish the business on it. 60 minutes has been a difficult, difficult number for them this year because, frankly, they're not very good. They have too many holes. They have too many lapses in judgment, too many lapses in even talent at certain positions. But there is some positive news this week, and I'll start on the offensive line. Ryan Kelly's back and practicing, and that has to be big because Deshaun Bond is
great
done.
Great timing, yeah, because Deshaun Bond is on IR now too. So no, you need the kid back. I mean, he's your first-round draft pick from last year. Got to have the kid in the lineup. He was a full practice today. They are expecting him to start this weekend. Andrew Luck joined practice today. He will not be playing anytime soon.
No.
So who knows how long that'll take. But to have him back and be able to see number 12, I think is big, certainly for the media locally. But for the fans and the team, I'm sure it means a lot.
It has
too.
To be some kind of morale because I don't think, to some degree, everybody in this world where we're all connected one way or the other through social or you text me every 5 minutes and I text you every 5 minutes, whatever it is, but people in the Colts organization heard Jim Mercer say he'll be ready for at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
People heard that. People on the team heard that. People around the building
heard that. He kept saying it.
And he kept saying it and saying, well, obviously he was wrong, and that's what it is. And so seeing him at practice – will get the casual fan thinking probably even more erroneously that he's ready to go in that.
Right.
And if you saw any of the video of him throwing today, it would look like something you and I would do in the parking lot at a tailgate game.
Nice and easy.
Well, nice and easy, because I think you're right. I think this is more for the media than it is for the football team at the moment, because he's under a pitch count. He's under strict rules on what he can and can't do. And to me, that's not ready. So for whatever reason it is, and I don't know this,
right?
Why isn't he on injured reserve? This team stinks. They could have used a roster spot for 14 other positions.
At least the pup, like Clayton Gathers, who at least you get six games out of
it. You have to miss the first six games. What week is this?
This is five.
And what's he doing next week?
Nothing.
He's not playing.
That's the whole point.
So, again, they've mismanaged.
Yeah.
They've whiffed. They've lied. Yeah. They've provided incorrect information. Whatever phraseology you'd like to use there.
And none of it makes sense to have been, meant to be that.
It does make sense, because people buy season tickets. People buy game tickets. Advertisers' needs need to be met. Concession quotas need to get hit. Programs need to be sold.
Well, you're going to take a bigger hit by lying for half a year.
If you keep dangling and dangling and dangling. They didn't say you had to buy your tickets. They didn't say he was going to be back. They said they thought they would be back. They're going to out-lawyer everybody on that, which I completely understand. But right now, the only feel-good about the Colts is, and I picked on Frank Gore, and I'm going to do it again, is who's he going to pass this week in the rushing compilers list? And Andrew Luck is coming back to throw soft toss at practice. What are they doing Sunday at halftime? Peyton Manning
doing something.
Look over here. Yeah. Look, don't look over there. Look over here.
Right.
Because we got, don't forget our proud history, and look what Frank's done, and Andrew's back. And then, well, the point of the matter is, go watch the second half of the Seahawks game. First half, I give them all the credit in the world. You played well, and we gave them credit on Monday.
Yeah.
But in the second half, they did nothing.
Yep.
They did nothing with that running back. They did nothing with the scrambling mobile, gives you something better than Tolzien quarterback, except fumble touchdown.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything to talk about.
Oh, they were out. Pick six, too. Pick six.
That was the first half.
Two in the game.
Two turnovers for touchdowns in the game. But the point is, in the second half, they're outscored 36-3.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are they going to have a Reggie Wayne rock concert at halftime in the next game?
I hope so. Sounds like fun.
Something, but that's how bad it is right now. And that's why, if you're a fan, you should be excited Ryan Kelly's back, because he's a player that can help this thing stabilize just simply for the position he plays.
Look, they're not moving the ball. You mentioned
this
Frank
guy
Gore.
Might help.
I know you like to pick on Frank. I get all the reasons for it. Of your running backs, he has the highest yards per carry average.
At three.
You got a speedster in Marlon Mack who's averaging 1.3 yards a carry.
The good news is he's at least active.
He's at least active.
Practicing.
But the point there is the speedy guy. Good enough size to run between the tackles. Speedy guy, 1.3. He can't do anything either.
Veteran can't do it.
Yeah.
Rookie can't do
Turbin's
it.
Turbin's 2.8. Now, he's only allowed to run 2 yards at a time. I mean, has to fall down.
So
that's in his contract.
That's a good deal, though.
Yeah, but he usually does that over the goal line is when he's supposed to do
Or he does it on third and one and gets you 1.5.
Yeah, your most effective rusher is Jacoby Brissett.
Effective is
as
a different
long,
word, right?
Well, I said effective.
I was with you. I was pointing that out.
Yeah, 4.9 yards a carry.
It is.
Of course, he does fumble and throw interceptions occasionally,
but
too.
But the Colts are running. They're playing read option in the NFL.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know why teams don't do that? This doesn't work.
Yeah, you get guy gets killed. Yeah.
It doesn't work. Yeah. And what happens when quarterbacks?
Well, the best play is the chaos play, which
is
you drop back, you wait. It's Russell Wilson's play now.
Yep.
It's the chaos play now. He can't spin around quite like Russell, but he's been trying a few times.
And the Colts have struggled because their big playmakers have had in and out games. They haven't helped when things needed to be helpful.
Yeah.
Their running backs, you just mentioned their numbers, haven't been helpful. And look, you can blame the Colts offense all you want. The defense gave up. Let's see, 36 minus 7.
Yeah.
It's 29 points. Mm-hmm. 29 points, 4 touchdowns.
Yep.
That's what the defense did. So if you want to say the offense is putting them in bad spots, okay. The offense put them in a 15-10 halftime lead, so tell me how that's a bad deal.
The offense isn't doing phenomenally, but the defense is definitely not doing phenomenally either.
And as you mentioned on Monday, who gives up the most points in the NFL?
Colts.
The Colts. And who has the worst schedule in the NFL?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the Colts.
This is the second winless team out of the first 5 games.
And that's the point.
Yeah.
This is not New England, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Green Bay.
Yeah, this will put us through the entire NFC West. Now, the Rams are 3-1. That's a total surprise to everybody.
One in Dallas last week.
So they're playing really well.
You give credit where credit's due.
We still got beat 46-9 and gave up 2 offensive touchdowns the other direction.
Right.
Okay. Seattle's 2-2 now. Arizona's 2-2. 49ers are 0-4.
And I think Seattle and Arizona have beaten the the 49ers.
They have, yeah.
Because they're already started in there.
All three.
Because Seattle beat them like 12-9.
And Cleveland's 0-4.
Yeah, so you stink, and you're 1-2. Yeah. And that's the problem right now. So when you've got issues like this, you have issues like it. Can the Colts beat the 49ers? Sure. But guess what do you think the 49ers are doing right now? Pointing at this film and going, this is what we get this week. Did you see Russell Wilson over there? No. See Carson Palmer over there?
Yeah.
No.
At least defensively.
Jared Goff?
You know, they've had a couple games that haven't been, you know, crazy scores.
That's their only thing that they do well. And sadly for the Colts.
They lost to the Rams 41-39.
Yeah.
They lost to the Seahawks 12-9, same place up in Seattle. They lost at Arizona 18-15.
Right. That was 13-13 into overtime. One mm-hmm. field goal and then a six back.
Yeah.
So
and then
they've had one game. Who does that sound like? They've had one game where they've had a big offensive output. Cleveland 31. But it's almost like they mirror each other. But San Francisco, obviously, their defense is going to be what keeps them in games. I believe Brian Hoyer's a quarterback right now.
I believe so.
And Brian Hoyer's been everybody's quarterback who's been under 500 in the last 5 years. And there's a cause and effect for that. He's the guy you throw in there just to hold it all together and
get you to the next guy.
And hope to get you to the next guy. You're absolutely right. So the Colts have an opportunity here to go 2-2 and be right in the thick of the race in the division.
Yeah.
Which, from all the stuff we just spent 10 minutes telling you about, two wins are right in it. At worst, you can be back as what? Who's the leader there? 2-2?
Well, they're all 3-2-2 above us.
So if everybody loses,
you're all in the same boat.
But that we just told you how bad it's been and how not good certain facets of the game are. And it's a funny old thing because I say this all the time, you can only lose or win one game a weekend. And it makes you have to look at it that way. Why do you think these teams make these wild swings week to week? Because it's all different. Each week is a new
– Every game plan's different.
Every style is different.
The mentality's different.
You're
might
playing
be a short week, long week. Who
injured,
knows?
Not injured, London, wherever. And it's an unbelievable soap opera. So you look at the Colts on paper like we did before the season started and said, boy, wouldn't it be great to get out of here and those going to Tennessee at what? 3-1? Was that our hope for the Stars?
We hoped, yeah. I mean,
because you thought maybe you'd
Seattle
beat the Rams.
We knew would be tough.
Seattle would be tough.
You thought you'd beat the Rams.
You had a
be
chance in every other game.
You hosted the Cardinals. You hosted the Browns. You hosted the Niners.
Blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead against the Cardinals. So there's been some flashes and glimmers of hope, but what we haven't seen is anywhere near resemblance of 60-minute football. And when you're 1-2, right, 1-3, that's obvious. Your record wouldn't say that unless you're just patently unlucky. The Giants, you give a little bit of a break. Get beat on a 61-yard field goal. Get beat on a 38-yard.
Sure.
I mean, those things happen.
Yeah.
You score 24 points in the fourth quarter and get beat. The Colts haven't done that. The Colts' problem, to me, and we talked about it with Seattle, you talk about it with Cleveland, you talk about it with the Cardinals, the fourth quarter, late in games, they're not finishing. They're not closing. They're not doing anything, offensively or defensively. And that's tough. When you have both those sides not firing, where do you go for answers?
I read you the scores for the Seahawks, and there's a couple of reasons
Niners,
for that.
Yeah.
Or the Niners, sorry. So that you could see what the Niners are giving up on offense or on defense in particular, but also because three of those games are the exact same teams that the Colts have played.
That's right, common opponent.
You know, it's the Rams, it's the Cardinals, it's the Seahawks, and they're drastically different. We gave up 46 and 46 and then 16 to the Cardinals. It's all in the teens or lower, except for the Rams game, who's scoring points all over the place. You know, the Seahawks have played those teams arguably a hell of a lot better than we have.
They're a better football team.
They're division rivals. You see them more often. They know them better.
Right.
Sure. But this is not, if you look at this Colts team and start thinking there's a run to the playoffs there, you're kind of fooling yourself right now, whether luck's here or not. That should show up more obviously every week because they can't run the ball. The offensive line still has holes in it all over the place. The wide receivers just pick and choose when they want to, make their plays and not make their plays.
If they can't get the ball because the quarterback has no time to throw it, it all trickles down from everyone.
Granted, Scott Tolzien and Jacoby Brissett are not starters in the NFL in reality. So, I mean, there is that against them there. The defense still in massive rebuild mode.
All that being said, they should be able to beat the 49ers at home. They've had their best performances at home, leading the Cardinals by 10 in the fourth quarter, scoring 31 7 points.
Yeah.
With what, 9 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, being up 31-14 or whatever that was.
Let's put it this way: you know, if you want to throw must win around, this one
this
has
is
to
it
be. Yeah,
because there's not, the schedule doesn't start pointing into must win directions after this.
No, I mean down the line you got the Bills and the Broncos.
Bills are in first place.
The Ravens at least stink right now, but that'd be the second to last game. You got the Steelers.
That's a pretty good team.
Bengals are mediocre. But you got the Titans and the Jaguars and the Texans. And
twice each.
They've all got their good points at the very least right now, and the Colts, you're struggling to find it. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk a little IU basketball when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Your programming notes for you. Pick up NFL football tomorrow night, Thursday night, with New England at Tampa Bay. That is an 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 kickoff for what ought to be a very good Thursday night game. Friday night, we continue our high school football, Columbus North and South. That is supposed to be a Columbus North home game. They moved it to Lucas Oil Stadium, so kind of a special event there. Head up 37 to the stadium. 7:30 is Chalk Talk, and 8 o'clock is kickoff. And note, again, there is an early game, so if it goes late, we may be delayed on that. But tune in around 7:30 and hang on tight. We'll be with you before long, if not right then.
We'll need to take the WGCL chopper.
There you go.
To get up there to avoid some of that traffic on 37.
Talk to one of the guys from up in Indiana.
That's right.
See if we can get that.
It's right.
It's Operation Football. Saturday, LSU is at Florida. 3 o'clock is pregame for that. 3:30 is kick. And on Sunday, a doubleheader. The Colts are at 49ers. We have Bob Lamy's pregame at noon. And then we have Sunday night football at 7:30. KC is at Houston. That also ought to be a good game. And then next Monday, we'll be back again with you. Vikings are at Bears for Monday night football. We'll have the long show on Monday. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosier hysteria has been established, I suppose is the word.
Officially.
Saturday, October 21st. Doors are open at 5:30. Event begins at 7 o'clock. Their release here says that they will have a introduction to the women's and men's team, a dunk contest, and a scrimmage. The media day was just the other day.
Yes.
First practice has already happened.
Yes, yes.
The thing that I'm sure catches everybody's eye, because you got a brand new coach, I'm going to ask you about it because you were a point guard.
That's exactly right.
You weren't allowed to shoot. You were only allowed to dribble.
Did a little of both.
Only allowed to dribble is what I understand. The thing that everybody notices right off the bat because of the coaching change in particular is when they ask, how different is it having an ex-point guard to coach the point guards? And they say, he can relate to us better. So I'm asking you, as an ex-point guard, if I came in and said, hey, dribble around the corner and do this thing over there, and would I relate less to you? Does it mean that much more to have a coach who has played and has played at a high level and has played your position at a high level to your position when you're playing it?
Four or five guys mentioned that specifically in the press conference, so I would suggest it does. And the point is, it's not about what was the previous staff, it's about what's happening now. The reason he doesn't know any better, because he played in the ACC. Mm-hmm. He's coached in the Pac-10, coached at Ohio State. He's been to all these levels, and he's seen players, and he's done things on the court, which is interesting. And one of the most interesting comments I heard during this, and I can't remember who said it was, he's intense. He knows what all five positions on the floor should be doing at all times, because he's had to run them as a point guard on the floor.
Yep.
So if it's his offense, he knows exactly where everybody needs to go and can get out there and act the part. It's a connection, Dave. It's not a disconnection. Mm-hmm. It's a connection. When someone says, hey, you know, you don't have to say anything. They know he played. Mm-hmm. So when he says, this is how I think it should be done, you think, oh, he played at NC State.
Should we expect improvement? Because everyone who's watched IU basketball the last few years knows that one of our biggest issues has been turnovers.
Yes, you should expect improvement, because it's a new day. It's a new message. The message is being delivered differently.
Specifically,
the drills are
taking
being
care of the ball as one of them.
75-25, defense to offense in practice. Mm-hmm. So that's another angle that he's putting down. And it was really funny. Josh Newkirk, somebody asked him about the turnover specifically, and he said, coach suggested that we force more than we make. And everybody kind of giggled, because it's just that simple.
That's what you want.
If you don't make as many, you don't have to force as many. We'd love to force them all the time. But it's about making better decisions. It's about when you go, when you stop. And I think that goes everywhere. If guys are in better frames of mind and good shape and understand this and do that. It's just a new message. Mm-hmm. And the new message is defense is going to rule the day. If they're running 75% of their practices on defensive stuff, you're going to start
that's
there.
How you focus,
most guys
yeah.
that come to college basketball can find a way to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
That's usually what they do to get a scholarship. It's mm-hmm. not about a lockdown post guy or a guy that's going to play guard that's a defensive guy. All these guys that are being recruited are usually guys that can fill it up. So what do you start with? You start with a philosophy, and Archie's sounds like it's going to be, we're going to be a work in progress on defense because it doesn't turn around just like that. But you're right. The less you turn it over, the less you have to play defense. It's not hard to figure out.
This may be a little bit more abstract.
No, but I like abstract. It's good.
For the last couple of years, we heard a lot about positionless basketball.
Yes.
And we've got some kids that have got some skills. Now, we're not sure about the freshmen. Yet. You're not going to have Deron Davis running the point. I get that. But for guys like Juwan Morgan, guys like that who have seen the ball in their hands some but aren't your prototypical point guards, do you think Archie Miller has the mindset of a role-based position because
yes.
he was such a role-based position player? I mean, he wasn't a hold-it-all-the-time, ball hog, black hole, score like crazy. He was a point guard,
no.
a traditional old point guard. So does that translate, do you think, into more of those types on this team, or are we looking potentially still having more positionless type players?
I don't have my notes with me, but somewhere in them I wrote down that he mentioned at some point that Josh Newkirk is the purest point guard they have, and mm-hmm. he will probably be handling the ball most of the time. He talked about those who could spell him, like obviously Robert Johnson.
Right.
He likes Devontae Green because he's an East Coast style yeah. guard,
tough guy.
Fearless, mm-hmm. not afraid to have a little style in it, trying to tone down the style, as he mentioned, in some of that. But yes, it sounds like when you have too many cooks, sometimes the stew gets spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the ball in certain players' hands at certain times and they don't turn the ball over, that's a positive moving forward.
Sure.
If you're trying to have everybody go 100 miles an hour, and you want to score 90 points a game, that's one way of doing it. And in the last era, that was accepted. We're going to go fast. We're going to score a lot. But this is going to be part of the detail. But Archie has pointed out, it sounds like, that he has more of an emphasis on, I want these guys getting us where we need to get going.
Use the football analogy. How important is a single point guard to a team, hearing that one voice, getting that pass from that one guy? I know it's not that simple.
Foul problems, ankles turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. You have to have multiple options. But when you have a guy that doesn't turn it over a lot and mm-hmm. he's doing his job, that should reduce your turnovers from the start and should help other guys make better decisions that don't have to be in that spot.
Right.
It's simplistic, but it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here.
Loud music.
We will be back Monday. We'll be here for the long show again before Monday Night Football. Remember, folks, high school football Friday night. We'll be up at Lucas Oil Stadium for Columbus North and South. 7:30 Chalk Talk. 8 o'clock should be kickoff. So join us on Friday night. Join us again on Monday. We'll talk to you. You've been in the zone.